Central Coast, from Melbourne Victory, hear the Queensland roar. This is the Near Post, going coast to coast.
The Near Post, get there first if it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first.
Okay, Danny, I'm going to start it with you because I don't think you'll know, that's why. Socceroos played played Kuwait in 2006 at the Sydney Football Stadium. They won 2-0. It was an Asian Cup qualifier and they played an A-League side. We had another A-League side last week. How many players started the game in 2006 and started on Thursday night in Canberra?
Started the game. Can I go with a guess of zero?
Zero? So after 2.5 years, the whole team was changed. That's not a bad guess, Aaron.
Well, I'm fairly certain Archie Thompson was one.
Archie Thompson was one, that's right. So 4 marks to you, Aaron, and I think that about wraps up the quiz. So
Is that it?
So, I mean, it is an amazing just aside, I suppose, to see that, you know, if you think of any national team, whether it's the full English team, Italian team or Socceroos side, 2.5 years ago, there would be heaps of players in that team. And if you compare the A-League team of 2.5 years ago with the A-League team of the other night, the fact that there's only one player, I don't know. What does that say about our team? I mean, in the team, the team 2.5 years ago that played Kuwait and won 2-0, it's interesting to note who some of the players were, I suppose. You had Travis Dard, Joel Griffiths, David Carney, Mark Milligan, Jade North, Kevin Muscat, those sorts of players. Manny Mackay was the only other player involved the other night. Danny Vukovic, those two were on the bench. So big changes, and perhaps no surprise then that we got the performance we did.
Hi, I'm Keely from Lightning's Under 10.
Hi, I'm Tara from the Pixies Under 8s.
Hi, I'm Eilish and I'm also from the Under 8 Pixies.
You're listening to The Near Post
on 2XX
Community Radio.
Get there first.
Matildas have show and we can be world class. The Near Post, get there fast.
Okay, we're going to talk. Asian champions. Oh no, we've got some news. Aaron, do you want to lead off with the news first up?
Okay. Are we talking about the Asian Cup?
Overseas news, Asian Cup news, whatever you got.
Overseas news. Okay, we'll start with James Troyorsi scoring for Turkey for his club. Glebriari? How do we pronounce that name?
Oh, that'll do. I don't know how you did it.
And anyway, I was having a look at their website the other day, and their top goal scorer for this season is actually Bruce Gite, and he's got 5 from 19.
Fantastic. So he's doing okay. So, I mean, he was rumoured to be the next Vidica in discussions in my household anyway. So maybe he will be. I mean, he's, you know, by the 2010 World Cup, he should be that little bit better.
Yeah, well, I tend to remember Viduka putting a few more away for the likes of Celtic and Leeds. But
he did. Not anymore. He's actually leading on to Mark Viduka. He's injured. He's got another hamstring injury, so he's out again. Yeah,
I think him and Harry Kewell have swapped regards in the injury front.
Yeah, I think Harry's out as well, isn't he, at the moment? He's got injured again on the weekend.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
That's unlike Kewell to be on the bench.
It is unlike Kewell, but though he has been playing a fair bit of late. In other news, Timmy Cahill's... No, he didn't score. It says he scored for Everton, but he didn't. His team went through to the next round of the FA Cup.
He set one up. I heard that. He put in the cross.
Yeah, I don't know who to beat. Who'd they beat? Middlesbrough.
I don't know off the top of my head.
I think they beat Middlesbrough, yeah. Mark Schwarzer is knocked out of the FA Cup by Manchester United. No surprise there, 4-0. Some guys I was talking to off air said United are always winning 1-0 this year, but clearly not.
Possibly in the Premiership, 1-0.
Hey, it was you, Daniel, was it? Yeah, okay. Okay, in Asian Champions League news, Asian Champions League kicks off tonight, actually. Newcastle play their first game in China, in Beijing. Shane Huke, have you heard of him?
Oh, I've heard of him, yes.
Okay, Shane Huke has joined the Mariners as a replacement, apparently, from Mille Jednak. He's signed from Dagenham. Impressive impressive pedigree.
Well, what league are they in, Dagenham?
I have no idea. They are in England, though, I think.
He's a former Southampton junior, isn't he?
Is he? Yeah, juniors. We don't go with juniors. I mean, what does that mean? You know, I had a trial with Notts County. That doesn't count for anything, does it? You know? So, I don't know. Okay, so Shane Huke, be interesting to see how he goes. The Mariners got over 600,000 in local government sponsorship as they head to Asia. One of the comments they made was that they're going to be playing in Tianjin, a city of 11 million people. So as somebody involved in the Canberra A-League, it'd be nice to see Canberra heading that way in the not-too-distant future.
Hi, my name is May. I am 7. My favourite soccer player is Lucas Neal.
If you're going to the Near Post,
arrivez première.
We got more news, and this is that all three Griffiths brothers will be playing tonight in the Jets Asian Champions League, and I find this absolutely scandalous. How can the Jets loan out their best player? Fair enough, you loan him out over the off season, but how can you not write it into that contract that they don't play against you when you're loaning them to your rivals in the Asian Cup?
It's a fair point. I mean, most clubs. I mean, I remember a few years ago when Fernando Morientes with Real Madrid was loaned out to Monaco, I think, and I think he played in the maybe in the semi-final of the European Cup and scored a couple of goals. So even Real Madrid didn't stop him playing, but usually clubs do, don't they?
When you can see it coming, I mean, they might have not known that they were going to eventually meet in the semi-finals. But the draw had already come out. They knew they were going to be playing against this team. Surely it's amateurish contract management not to write in a clause that says you cannot play against us. We cannot have our own player beating us in the Asian Champions League.
So why do you think they've done it?
I don't know, it was probably worth more money or something like that. Either that or it was just a blatant, oversight.
My theory, for what it's worth, is that Griffiths is the marquee player. And if you look at the Jets this season, they've been an absolute disaster, haven't they? Losing players and all sorts of things. So I reckon they got an offer to pay his huge salary, meaning that they could get rid of him and then obviously fund some lower salaries for some other players. That's my... because it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
Absolutely. Well, let him go and let him play the off-season over in China, but... in terms of the two games against the Jets, just write it into the contract that you can't play those two. The rest, not a problem.
Okay, what happens if Beijing come back to you and say, no way, if we're not paying him? And if you're in a financial basket case, which they clearly must be, they say, well, we'll only take him if we take him for... Beijing probably had the bargain.
Well, at least don't let him play in the game at Newcastle where your own home fans can see him put it in the back of the net and knock you out of the competition.
On the other hand, it creates more interest in the game, doesn't it? But yeah, it is a bit bizarre. They're going to be bagging... Joel Griffiths, and he's their marquee player.
But anyway, all three Griffiths brothers on the pitch. I've never seen that before, I don't think. Ryan, Joel, what's the other one?
Adam, yeah. Adam, the only one playing for the Jets, yeah. And also, interestingly, there's $40,000 prize money for every win in this year's competition, which...
they've really jacked up the money from last year.
Yeah, which is fantastic, isn't it? Because obviously teams aren't going to be losing money by going to Asia. This time, and in fact, if you win the competition, I think you will win $1.5 million. Mm. Not that Australia is going to be winning it, I don't think, with our two sides this year, but you never know.
Why was the football player standing next to the heater?
I don't know.
Because he was warming up.
Boom, boom, baby.
That is humour.
That is humour.
On 2XX.
Is the marquee player a hero or a dud? The near post is clear as mud.
Okay, so who have... let's start with the Champions League. We've got... starting tonight, Newcastle are playing on my list of... I don't have my list.
I believe it's a team from Beijing. Don't get me with these pronunciations. You know I can't do it.
Yeah, they are. They're playing Beijing Guoan. And tomorrow night, the Central Coast Mariners take on Pohang Steelers. So Newcastle have signed a few new players. They've got, Lubo Milicevic, Ange Costanzo from last year's with Adelaide, Nikolai Topper-Stanley. They've got a couple of new players from overseas, a couple of Italians. So they've had a big change around. They've obviously got rid of Joel Griffiths. What do you think, Aaron? How do you reckon?
They've rebuilt their team from scratch almost. If you look at their lineup, you'll be lucky. I think maybe four or five would have been there last season. You never know what you're going to get from these overseas guys. That De Groot, I think his name is, who's the Dutch guy and the Italian as well, seems to have a reasonable pedigree. But I thought that last year when they signed the Ecuadorian and the Danish fringe internationals. I mean, these guys are on the fringe of good international teams. They should be ripping the A-League apart. Didn't happen, so I guess you don't know.
It doesn't bode well, really, does it? No. Putting together a team at the last minute.
No. Topple Standing and Petrovsky, they also brought in, so a couple of guys with proven A-League pedigree.
How do you think Petrovsky will go? I mean, obviously they need a goal scorer. Joel Griffiths gone, but he's not a guy with a lot of pace.
No, he's not, but he's a finisher. If you put the ball... in front of his feet and the goal's there, he will finish it. So,
and the two guys, they've got a couple of young guys who played last year, Brendan Mooy, I think his name is, a couple of strikers who came in who looked okay. They looked like...
Another one begins with J, whose name escapes me.
Marko Jesic. Yeah. I think he actually got another injury towards the end of the season. But they have got a couple of forwards who, young guys, but they're kind of, it's a hit and miss sort of team.
Well, it's only just been put together, so I think it's going to take them at least a while to get used to playing to each other, so I don't expect them to do much in the early games together.
Now, the good news for the Asian Champions League this year, of course, is that they're away. The two teams go through. Last year, obviously, Melbourne were up against Gamba Osaka in their group stage, and I mean, there was no way they were ever going to beat them. But this time, Asia have been very nice to us, and they're given two teams go through. What do you think, Danny? Two teams going through, does that create more interest for the Australian teams?
Oh, absolutely. If we can get as good a Australian showing as possible, then absolutely, let's get as many in there as we can.
So, I mean, if we can get through, I mean, obviously, Beijing tonight for Newcastle. They've also got the Korean Ulsan, and then they're up against Nagoya from Japan. So, you know, Japan, Korea, and China. Certainly, with the Chinese game, I mean, the Japanese sides I expect are going to be the strongest. So really, if Newcastle, they need to get a point tonight, but if they can at least aim to get the second place, and I think that's probably the same for the Mariners. I mean, the Mariners, they play Pohang Steelers. Did you watch those games last year, Aaron, when Danielson for Pohang against Adelaide in the early stages?
No, I didn't pick it up until they made the later rounds. I'm a bandwagon.
Okay, good on you. So Pohang Steelers, I mean, they lost to Adelaide in Pohang, and I think they got a draw back in Adelaide. Central Coast Mariners had a bad run-in towards the end of the season. They lost Milay Jednak in the middle of midfield, and I don't think they won a game after he left.
No, he was critical for them. He ran their midfield, and he was such an important player, and I think they're yet to replace him, really.
So how do you think they'll go?
I actually think the Mariners have the more conductive game with playing international fixtures. The way they play, they just run hard, they're very defensive, they stick back, they're very well organised. There's no outstanding superstars, and that's why we saw Melbourne struggle. They can dominate the A-League with super attacking, flowing football, but I think it's a bit naive on the international front to think that you can turn up and play this super attacking football and run over the top of teams. Where Mariners take every game very cautiously, they play... give every team respect, and that's why you see them coming back from 3-0 down so often. They never give up, they keep trying, and they're just that kind of team, and I think they'll do better than the Jets.
Interesting, the preparation. The Central Coast have been to China just last week to play a couple of games there, and so they're now back for their friendly, and then they'll be going off to China again next week, I think. So in terms of preparation, the Central Coast are much more organised. They've still got, interesting, they've got no players out, no non-Australians in their team. What does that say about their...
They've used this recruiting philosophy since they first began. They're not after the big name international stars, and they're very risk adverse. They don't like taking risks on players that might be good and might not be. They take the guys who they know can play in the A-League because they've seen them play well for other teams, and they're the guys they bring in. So
Ahmed Elrich is back. Danny, are you a fan of Ahmed Elrich?
He actually played over there.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Buscan Icons.
In the league against the Steelers.
Well, I don't know whether he did play, did he? I mean, that was part of the problem, wasn't it? He was over there when he actually...
He did at the start, and then there was some kind of contractual breakdown, and he ended up sitting on the bench and doing nothing for 6 months.
Yeah. So are you a fan of the Mariners, Danny, in terms of the style of play? Or?
Yeah, I do like the Mariners. I think they're against...
Because they get criticised, you know, by some English commentators, or people, because they've sort of got a British style. But obviously, you know, being a bit of an Englishman yourself, you can relate, can you?
Absolutely. Okay. I think that Elrich made a good point, and that is that the Mariners, they play a much more physical game. So I think that's going to put them in good stead. And exactly as you say as well, I think they approach the game in a much more sensible way in terms of the non-domestic matches.
What sort of crowds do you think they'll get, the two teams at home? It's a midweek fixture. They haven't gone so well, particularly Newcastle haven't gone so well in the season.
Well, prior to last year, I would have thought not fantastic, but Adelaide really showed that the Asian Champions League can be a real crowds winner, and now Australia really jumped on that bandwagon, that it's really shown what the Asian Champions League can be, and I really think the two teams will embrace it. And we saw Adelaide getting sell-out crowds at Hindmarsh when, you know, their weekend A-League fixtures, they were getting half as many, so I think they'll do all right.
Okay, and your prediction tonight, Newcastle play Beijing Guan. How do you think, what's your score prediction there?
I think they'll go down 2-0.
2-0, and yourself, Danny?
I think they'll go down as well. I just think back to how the Socceroos did against China, and that's probably tainted my impression of Australian teams versus Chinese teams.
Alrighty, so tough luck, and it's going to be cold over there. And as for the... although interesting to see Lubo Milicevic back on the field. It'd be interesting to see how he goes, whether he, obviously things didn't work out for him in Melbourne. So it's good to see him back in the pot.
Yeah, absolutely. And some very interesting quotes from him that have been thrown around the media as well.
Yeah, well, anything that adds a little bit of, you know, a sort of a value to the media, I think we need that. And obviously Luba's going to do a job for us. What about the Central Coast? They play at home tomorrow to Pohang. It's on Fox. It's at 8 o'clock. So if you're not doing anything else, Wednesday night, that's your spot.
Hi, I'm Lydia Williams from the Matildas. You're listening to 2XX 98.3 FM Community Radio. If you go into the near post, get there first.
What's the deal? Central Coast to win?
I think they'll grind out and 1-0 win. McAllister will put one in early and then they'll park the bus. Every one of them will be back in the 6-yard box.
The parking the bus terminology has been around a lot this week, actually. I heard Alex Ferguson talk about it in terms of Inter Milan this week, and also, of course, Adelaide, the pissant town. they also talked about parking the bus. So Central Coast. And Danny, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Central Coast 1-0 is a pretty good bet.
Pretty good bit. Okay, well, that's why you're the experts, because you know nothing. And I think I think Pohang will probably do them. But anyway, there you go. We'll see how we go. All right, we're going to talk Socceroos and that wonderful performance in Canberra last week.
Socceroos in Asia, will they make it to the cup? The near post will wish them luck. The near post will wish them luck.
Okay, you're back. You're listening to the Australian Football football Show on the near post on the Australian Community Radio Network. My name's Eamon Flanagan. We're with Aaron Walker and Danny Marlowe. And we're talking about the Socceroos. We're based in Canberra, but we're a national show for the local Canberra audience. We'll be talking more about what we thought about the Socceroos being in Canberra and in the local part of the show. But for the moment, we're going to concentrate on the Socceroos, the performance. Danny, your initial thoughts. You've been in Australia how long?
Very disappointing. Very disappointing.
That didn't answer the question. How long have you been in Australia?
I've been in Australia for about 7 years now.
7 years. So more than qualified to comment on the Socceroos and...
Very kind of you to say.
...the ups and downs. Well, I mean, we've only had football in this country for 4 years, isn't that right? I didn't say that. Other people tell me wrong. Apparently there was a history beforehand. But anyway, yeah, go on. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was very disappointed. I was expecting more from what was touted to be this, you know, all-A-League squad. Going to be going forward with not the same Euros as they've been referred to a couple of times. They just really didn't have a lot going forward, did they? They were playing very safely. They were holding the ball for long periods at the back. If we look at the possession, I think it was 56% to the Socceroos, but it doesn't really do a lot when you have the ball in your own half. There wasn't much of a midfield. I felt that... We were probing by knocking the ball forward, hoping that Archie Thompson could maybe score 5 goals. We saw he had 1 go, probably should have hit a little harder. And we really didn't have much going forward.
Aaron, what were your thoughts on the Socceroos performance?
I thought it was terrible, and to be honest, I think it comes down to the coaching. I mean, we saw it two years ago, they won 2-0 with an All-A-League team, and Graham Arnold was in charge. What's changed since then?
Pim Verbleek, as he's now been called.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think he sent the players out on the back foot to start with. For a start, he's come out in the media and taken every opportunity to tell them that he has no faith in them and he doesn't like using A-League players. Then they give them these ridiculous squad numbers, which go 109, 110, 111. And then he sends them out with a defensive formation using 2 screening midfielders, which says both to his team and to the opposition, we're not particularly confident here and we're going to defend. So it puts them on the back foot and gives Kuwaiti that sniff of victory from square one.
Okay, just on the numbers thing, apparently when you nominate your players for the Asian Cup, whenever it starts, you have to nominate as many players as you can. Otherwise, you can't use them. So if you haven't nominated them from whenever it started, before the Indonesian game, probably last year sometime, there's a nomination date. So they've obviously nominated everybody with an Australian playing overseas, plus any tourist travelling around Europe who is Australian. And then they've thought, right, we're going to nominate a few Aussies back home. And then they've thought about some guys like Mitch Nichols who've never played football before this season in the professional league. So they've obviously gone down a big list. They probably never thought that Mitch Nichols would be getting a go at number 111. But unfortunately, there was 100 guys before him who...
It's unprecedented, surely. I noticed that... deep into the second half, they were making substitutions, and they brought out the digital substitutions board for one number, and then a sheet of paper for the second.
Fantastic!
They couldn't accommodate 3 digits.
Yeah, I kind of was amused at that, but yeah, I know it. Yeah, I mean, but it is unprecedented. And I mean, what's the way around it? I mean, if you think if that's the logic, you've got to name all your players. I mean, I just think it's a good it's a good job that they did name all those players, otherwise we wouldn't actually have had anybody to play. If you've only got the first 80 to choose from, it makes you wonder who the other 80 are there, doesn't it?
Well, how many numbers do they have? I mean, what's my number?
Well, that's a good point. I think actually you're number 1,270.
Oh, I think that's generous.
Well, it probably is. But I think they did the Narrabundah boys first before they went on to the the New South Wales guys, yeah. So, get wait until they come out with four numbers for you. Then you can run on. But it is, there is a problem. Okay, what about...
So, hang on, if I could just pull it up for a little point here.
Yeah.
Theoretically, if we have a guy that spurts up tomorrow, like Tommy Orr type, who is absolutely sensational, and we already have nominated all these guys, does he just get whacked on the top and is potentially number 200, 300 and whatever?
Well, he's probably already on the list. I mean, given that Mitch Nichols is not... Mitch Nichols is not that much... You know, you would have thought at the start of the year, who would have thought Mitch Nichols is going to be playing? I think he played about five or six games for Queensland, maybe a few more, but he hadn't really played last season.
Okay, but theoretically, some guy starts for the Mariners and they bring him out of their youth team. No one's ever heard of him, and all of a sudden he's fantastic and they want him in the A-League Socceroos.
So maybe he is on the list. Maybe potentially.
He's on the list,
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe Tommy Orr. I mean, you'd think Tommy Orr might be because he actually was...
Quite good.
Well, he actually played a few games and so they've gone to the trouble of listing everybody. We maybe we're getting off lightly with 100. Maybe, you know, next time it'll be 250. And it does make you wonder. But what's the alternative then? You know, it's easy to criticise. What's the alternative?
Well, I think the FFA is using the A-League Socceroos as a carrot to get the fringe Euro players back. I think there's a lot higher chance that these guys in the A-League are going to play for a Socceroos team rather than these fringe, you know, the 50th, 60th, 70th best guy that's playing overseas. So I think they should get the numbers ahead of the guys, you know, that are playing third division in Sweden, fifth division in Denmark or whatever.
The team that played 2 years ago included Jade North, Mark Milligan, Travis Dodd, Joel Griffiths. None of those four... who I all think were better than some of the players we put out the other night, all of them are either playing in Asia or Australia. Why weren't any of them chosen?
Because, as I said, I think the FFA is using the A-League Socceroos as a carrot to draw people back. It's an incentive for players to come back. And so that's why they're not using guys. Jade North is over in Korea, I think. Joel Griffiths is over in China. Travis Dodd was an absolute travesty of a non-selection.
I think there's a joke there, but I can't figure it out. But no, you're right, Aaron. I think it's an interesting point. We're obviously under threat from the overseas market, particularly in Asia. But to not bring guys back from Asia when it's the Asian Cup qualifier, you know, it doesn't make any sense, does it? If they're playing in Asia, they should be able to come back and play in the Asian Cup qualifier. And maybe it is a plot by the FFA. Not necessarily a bad one, do you think?
No, it's good. I mean, the FFA has to be offering something for these fringe guys to come back and play in Australia. They want the Australian League to be as strong as possible. And a showing in the Socceroos is something which is greatly going to appeal to the likes of, you know, people like Shane Stefanuto or Jacob Burns that might not be playing, or Nicky Carl as well.
But what about the Asian guys? Why can't Jade North fly down from China to play? You know,
he can, but the FFA are saying we're not going to use you unless you're playing in the A-League.
Yeah, okay. A little bit of blanket policy, certainly for that match anyway. That all from the A-League.
Because I can assure you, if he could, Pim would pick players from overseas, fringe players from overseas.
Also, do you think possibly it could have something to do with Pim effectively underestimating a team ranked 98 places beneath the Socceroos? Thinking that probably an all-A-League team anyway would probably roll these guys over. I was at the match speaking to fans as they were coming through the turnstiles, and I was asking people to actually predict the result, and I had a lot of 2-0s, 3-0s, 4-0s, and maybe
to
fans
Australia.
Yeah, to Australia.
Yeah, but I think that's just Aussies. I mean, Aussies just expect to win when... Mm. I mean, I looked at the team and I thought, well, somebody said to me, are we going to win? And I said... Well, no, I don't think it's a given.
I tell you what, the TAB was paying 15-1 for a Q80 1-0 win, and I had a solid think about it because Q80 is a team that's played together. They're an international team. They know each other well, and this was a ragtag team thrown together. It doesn't matter how good the players are. When you're playing your first ever game together, you're going to struggle.
Yeah, and I think there was evidence of that lack of cohesion there.
Also, lack of creativity, and that's something in the A-League and in the, you know, where are our players? Basically anybody, even if they'd taken the players sort of in a camp in November, December, it would have taken a totally different group of players. He would have taken Rukavica, he would have probably taken Milligan or Griffiths, but all these guys have gone. You know, Miller, Jedinak, etc. So
Holland.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't, you know, when you think of the sort of players he would have been taking, it would have been a waste of time because it would have cleared off anyway. So we've got some problems, but there's also lots of positives. We now have these games for our Australian-based players, so we have to raise the standard. So rather than, you know, a lot of people have been critical, but I see it as we never had these games before. We never had a chance to get a team out there against Kuwait, and now there's a real pathway for the local players, and we've got to raise the standard of our footballers.
Absolutely, and a lot of people have been talking about the Asian player drain being a real burden on the A-League. I think it's fantastic that our players are now in a position where overseas teams want them. I mean, it would be bad if overseas teams looked at the A-League players and said, no, thank you. We're obviously developing some kind of reputation where fringe European teams and Asian teams are thinking those Australians have something to offer.
Good point, but in the short term, it does leave a bit of a hole in the A-League as players like Mark Bridge and Griffiths, who, let's face it, they're not the greatest players in the world, but they're good enough for the A-League. But once those guys go as well, we've lost Jade North, Ogonoski, we're losing another range of players. So is that a problem?
Well, it's just about developing the talent streams, isn't it? I mean, you've got to be able to replace these players as quickly as they come through. And it is a tough job, but that's what developmental leagues are about around the world. You look at likes of Croatia, Turkey, and all these places, they are developmental leagues. Their idea is just to bring the players in and get rid of them for a profit as quickly as possible. So that's the only way the clubs are going to survive, from the revenue of selling players. So the more they sell, I'm sure the owners are very happy with that.
Yeah, have we got enough talent to come through, though? Like, if we keep losing the players, like Adelaide have just been wiped out, you know, a lot of their players have gone.
The youth league's only been around one season, so I guess we're yet to see.
We need a youth league under. I mean, maybe the A-League is a youth league, some might say.
To agree, yes. It's a combination of upcoming youth and downcoming veterans.
Yeah. Okay, well, that ends our national show. We're going to talk more about the Socceroos in Canberra in a few moments. Stay with us. We'll also, we'll give all the Fed Cup results, and no doubt we'll just keep talking. A-League bid.
Who's top of the A-League and who's coming last? The near post, get there fast.
You name it. But for the moment, wherever you're listening across Australia, thanks to Aaron and Danny and for their expertise. And if you're going to the near post, get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
I'm Sudip, and I follow Sydney FC, and my favourite player for Australia is Lucas Neal, and I'm listening to 2XX.
What's up, my name is Ramsey, my favourite team is Juventus, and you're listening to Near Post.
I'm Sean, I'm from Adelaide United. If you're listening to the Near Post, get there first.
I'm Sally Shippard from the Matildas. If you're going to the Near Post, get there first.
Hi, I'm Gail, and I met my man playing football. We listen to the Near Post on 2XX.
Hi, I'm Mylish from the Under-8 Pixies. My favourite player is Archie Thompson. If you're listening to the Near Post, get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post, get there first.
And we're talking local football with on the Near Post show. My name's Eamon Flanagan. If you've just joined us, Aaron Walker is with us in the studio, and Danny Marlowe. And we're going to talk first of all, we'll have the Fed Cup scores later on in the show, but we're also going to talk about the Socceroos, the day the Socceroos came to Canberra. I don't think, were anybody alive when the Socceroos last came to Canberra?
When was it? 80-something?
Yeah, well, actually, no, it was 96, I think, and I was alive. I was at the game, of course. Went up there before. I think it was played either after or before the Canberra Cosmos game in those days, and there was 9,000 people there. It was a Oceania World Cup qualifier.
Ooh.
I was on the edge of my seat.
Who were they playing, do you remember?
I have no idea. I think it was Tahiti. Some say it was Vanuatu.
It was
Tahiti. 5-0.
Yeah,
all I can remember is the name Chris Trajanowski. I remember nothing else about the game. I just remember Chris Trajanowski. And we won 5-0. It was a hot day. And, there was 9,000 people. So when you think about it, 9,000 people to watch Tahiti. Mm. When people said we've got this game in Canberra, they said, I was doing the maths, you know, as you can imagine. I'm thinking, if we've got 9,000 to watch Tahiti, we're going to get more than, 20,000 to watch the Socceroos. And we did. 20,032. So, well,
the question is Kuwait that much worse than Tahiti?
They're way better than Tahiti. Tahiti are absolutely rubbish.
Really? I've never seen them play.
Yeah. I mean, Kuwait hit the post. They had a bit of flair going forward from Tahiti, didn't they? They ran Craig Moore, the ex-Rangers player, ragged. There was all sorts going on out there. You know, I mean, I think they only had one forward and he seemed to take up most of our four defenders. So Kuwait were, they weren't that good. People were saying Kuwait were fantastic. They had some individual ball skills. But they weren't brilliant, were they?
All right. I didn't think they were outstanding.
No, but they sort of did test it.
There's only really one thing that you have to say, and that's that they were better.
So they were better.
That's
yeah.
What you need to be, don't you?
Okay. Great. Now, what about it then, guys? You walked up there, Danny. You've been in Canberra for 7 years, Australia for 7 years. Aaron, have you lived in Canberra all your life?
Yeah, most of it.
So, how was it then, as a Canberran, Aaron, to walk up there, 20,000 people in a football crowd? What were your thoughts?
Absolutely spectacular, and I've never seen anything like it. And this is going back to the Cosmos days, where I'd sit down with eight other people and watch the game. So,
and you still couldn't find me in the crowd at the Cosmos, yeah. But it was. I mean, I just took some time out before the game just to look at the people, because you don't get that that much chance, and just to see the diversity of the people, and also the Socceroos gear that was worn by people. Mm. I just didn't know that so many people in Canberra had that sort of gear. Because I've never seen people really, you know, in any numbers wearing. I mean, there's a huge crowd of people actually wearing the gear.
Absolutely, and I was drinking at a pub before the game, and we were just looking at all the tables, and everyone was just in green and yellow, waiting for the bus to pick them up. And I was just thinking, you wouldn't got this 5 years ago.
No, it's a changed time, isn't it? And I think that's one of the things I've been saying with the A-League bit as well. It's a changed time, and a lot of people still criticise and say, and mainly older men. I've got a category of men. Some of them are over 40, but there's like, it can't work in Canberra, the A-League. It can't. But I think what the game showed the other night is the potential. I'm not saying that for a minute that that's the crowd we're going to get for an A-League game, but it shows, I think that's the crowd we'll get for the first game.
No, I think the Canberra bid, should it be successful, and we all pray that it will, needs to model itself more or less on the Central Coast Mariners template. They're a local community team. They get crowds of 9,000-10,000, and they're happy with that. That's a great turnout for a town like Gosford, and it's a great turnout for a town like Canberra. So I think we can,
I mean, in the sense the Central Coast have got bigger crowds from time to time with, you know, various events that they put on, and the Socceroos game the other night, I think, showed the potential for Canberra, and I think we can easily get more than that. I think we can be better model than the Central Coast. I think we've got a bigger population base. We've got more people interested in the game, and I think the game the other night showed that, you know, there's a strong potential to get good crowds. Danny, what were your thoughts as you?
It was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I echo both of your sentiments. One thing that I probably shouldn't enjoy, but I'll be honest, and that is that there were a lot of people who turned up to the game late, or at least they sat. You know, they did take the advice that had been out there about getting to the turnstiles early, and about 5 minutes before the game, I left the main area to get to my seat, and I just had a look at the turnstiles, and there were queues all the way past the AIS Arena, and something about that was, it just felt fantastic. It felt like there were 100,000 people trying to get in for the World Cup final. Mm. Okay, I might be, you know, stretching a little bit, but
only a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, well, just yeah. A little bit, yeah, but yeah. It really, really made you feel like you were part of something big, something formative in terms of the whole kind of Canberra football history.
I think you're right. Well, it was a historic night, wasn't it? And to me, it was. We haven't had a game at that level, and it showed that now with us being in Asia, the FFA will certainly consider coming back to Canberra. Why wouldn't they? I mean, I spoke to people from KPMG who were doing a review of the stadium, which I don't think is confidential. I mean, perhaps the details are, but they were talking to the Brumbies and the Raiders and the A-League about the possibilities for the future. But one of the guys there was an English man, and he said, and they've done stadiums like the Allianz in Germany and Dunedin down in wherever it is, New Zealand, where they're going to put a roof on the stadium, apparently. He's also done the Bolton Stadium, the Arsenal Stadium, you name it. But he was saying, I said, well, what did you think of the atmosphere? And he said, there was no atmosphere. And I said, well, you're wrong. I said it was different to an English club where you might get 20,000 thugs standing, chanting, you know, whatever. But I said, I thought there was a great atmosphere, because I've watched football in Canberra over the last 20 years, and often you've gone there. I remember watching the Sydney Olympics, and the Matildas played, and there was 25,000 in there. And, I mean, really, there was no one. No one knew when to cheer or when not to cheer, whereas I think everybody last night, or last Thursday, knew when to cheer. You know, they knew when the guy went diving around, they'd give him a bird. And when, referee made a decision, the old Aussie bullshit chant went up. And when the ball went, you know, in the second half, although perhaps it wasn't a great performance, the tension there, the people wanted Australia to win. And then when the ball went towards the goal, you know, there was a real feeling, I thought. What did you think, Aaron?
Well, I think they're probably comparing that to very historical crowds in Germany and England and places like that have got 150 years of football under their belts. Australia in general is still very much on a football learning curve when it comes to watching football. I was up in Brisbane to watch Australia play Iraq in the first round of the World Cup qualifying. There was 52,000 people there. You could hear a pin drop. We're just, as a nation, we're just not in tune with that kind of sporting following.
I think also it's a different crowd. I mean, we're a very family-based crowd, compared to, you know, a bunch of males in perhaps Europe. And I think that makes a difference. But no, I thought some of the fantastic comments I heard from the game was a seven-year-old walking into the stadium. How do I get to be a Socceroo? And then Marco Caputo, who, of course, is a former Wallaby, his son Joey, who plays football, and his daughter also plays football. Joey was going to a party on that night, an eight-year-old's party. And apparently the people who were hosting the party said, oh, we're not having the party. We're actually taking everybody to the Socceroos game. Now, that to me was significant because when I think, you know, of an eight-year-old or seven-year-old playing, running around in Canberra, they've never had the opportunity to see any professional football. So there's all these kids running around, but they've had no real aspiration. They can look at Manchester United or, you know, crappy Liverpool or somebody like that, but they've got no aspiration. They've had no opportunity to be the star in their own seven-year-old aspiring to get into Canberra Stadium to play for the Socceroos. And I think an A-League team would certainly change that, but I think that night changed it for a lot of kids because they see the rugby league and they see the, you know, the union and whatever, but they've never had that opportunity. So we have all these kids running around, but there's no focus for them in Canberra, really. And yeah. So hearing those comments alone showed me that, you know, there's great potential. And I think we're only just at the beginning, really.
Yeah, if I could just add, Eamon, I was talking to a lot of the families before the game. And it wasn't just the young boys, it was the young girls as well. And they were talking about the W League and how suddenly there's something that's very tangible for them to get hold of. So they've already got that with the Women's League. The girls can aspire to, you know, being these you know, top footballers. And let's hope that there could be the same thing for the guys as well.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, let's think about the women's side of the game. Obviously, you'd expect the girls' registration to grow over the next 5 years, as it's supposed to be anyway. So as Canberra United have succeeded already in their first season, if an A-League team came in as well, I mean, really, it would change the sporting sort of scenery in Canberra, wouldn't it? You know, if we had a Socceroos every 2 years, imagine, and just imagine for a moment, the next time the Socceroos come, Timmy Cahill's playing. Now, the tickets would sell out in a night, wouldn't they? And, you know, the more games we get where we get A-League Socceroos, I think we have more potential to, you know, when the Socceroos do play, let's say they're playing Oman in November, you know, in the Asian qualifier. Well, all the overseas players are going to come back, or a lot of them. So, you know, why not one time down the track? We'll see those guys playing here. And, you know, we won't have to go and watch Matt Simon or Matty Mackay.
Oh, Matt Mackay's a good player.
He's a good player. You support York City, don't you? He's a good player. Is he really a good player? Come on, I'm not letting you away with that. I've watched Matty Mackay and his mate Maximo Mudoka, and they run around like headless chooks, and they're fantastic for the A-League, and I like them. They're not international players, are they?
Oh, no, they're not international players, and very few in the A-League are. I think they do a fantastic job for Queensland.
They do a fantastic job for Queensland. How many of those players that played the other night are international players, do you think?
Well, you could argue that at least 11 of them now.
That's a good point, Danny. I agree with you, because what people say, well, none of them. But you see, if I was that player, people go, oh, you know, it's not. If that was you walking out there playing for Australia, how fantastic is that? My daughter went out as a mascot and she was over the moon. She was the mascot of Archie Thompson.
Oh,
so
wow. That,
yeah, so it was a real... But you know,
what number is she?
I think she was...
37.
But for all those guys, if they never played for Australia again, they played there in front of a packed house and they played for Australia. Now, any kid or any lad running around football, I mean, do people really need to criticise that? Wouldn't the Narrabunda Force, is that what team you're in, Aaron? I don't know.
Twos this year.
Oh, man. Sorry.
I'm stepping up.
You just like the Socceroos. Anyone gets a gig up in the league. So, I mean, wouldn't you love to have been going out there playing?
Oh, I think I'd have been a bit scared. Maybe if I was a bit better, I wouldn't mind.
But, you know, the point is that it's an opportunity, and they are Australia's best on the night, and they've got to play against Kuwait. Mm. And they didn't step up, so presumably they'll get the chop, but there you go. So any other thoughts on the atmosphere or the game or the historic occasion?
I thought it was fantastic that you just saw everyone from Australia's Canberra's football community out. I've been involved, as you have, Eamon, in Canberra football for 20 years now. And so you get to know the characters. And I think looking around at the people that are in the crowd, you saw everyone that you'd been involved with, from your under-sevens coach to the guy that you see playing in Div 7 in your own club. Everyone was there.
That was funny. I mean, I've been to a lot of games, you know, where I know. I don't know.
It was 20,000 people. I think I recognised 19,000 of them.
And I'd sent emails to about 16,000 then come to the game. But that was a good, I mean, I was the same. It was just, there was just so many people you knew. I mean, as a former teacher in Canberra, I mean, there was loads of students. There's one guy I remember when the A-League started, and he was in my economics class. He was probably about 16 at the time. I won't name him, but I went to the first game with Sydney and Melbourne. There's 30,000 there or whatever it was. And he says, ah, the A-League. He says, rubbish, you know, Barcelona or Liverpool or Man United. And he was going on. And he's saying, nah, never take off. Australian soccer, you know, the whole bit. Here he is, first in line for his ticket to watch the game the other night. So, yeah, how things have changed. The fact that he was willing to get out there and support. So, no, it was great. And, yeah, you just knew everybody. It was fantastic.
If I could just add, it wasn't just the atmosphere on the night and all the people coming through the gate and all the support and the kind of vocal behaviour of the crowd. It was the build-up before. I mean, even a week before, I had friends and colleagues saying to me, oh, you're going to the game, you know, where do I get tickets, you know, this person's going, that person's going. And it was kind of that one degree of separation that you kind of get in Canberra. Everyone knows everyone. And there really was a buzz about it. And I haven't experienced that in my time here in Canberra. And that was really something special.
No, I mean, I was sort of so excited. People were coming around. Obviously, we had some tickets to give away. But a number of people came around from the community to pick up the tickets. And you could see these grown men with sort of, you know, tears in their eyes almost saying, they've sold 18,000 tickets. Mm. And we're all standing there going, yeah, we're going to be going to watch a game of football with a crowd. It's like... this can't be real. I've been here 20 years. I've never seen a game other than the Matildas.
I don't think a lot of my friends expected them to sell that many tickets because I bought 8 tickets, which is the maximum you could buy, and I assumed, oh, yeah, I'll sell them all. And right up until the day, I still had, like, 8 tickets or minus mine and my girlfriend's, and no one really wanted them. I thought, geez, I might get stumped here with a bit of a bill. But then about half an hour before the game, I had about 30 calls from guys going, have you got any tickets left? Have you got any tickets left? Have you got any tickets left? I think I could have sold my 8 tickets about 10 times over.
Wow, which just goes to show. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? People want to get onto a good thing, and I think it's like a little bit like the A-League bid, you know, all camera cosmos, you know, I don't want to be the first to put my hand up to support that, because, you know, sticking my neck out, and I don't want to be a failure. But then when they see the momentum, and then when they see the crowd the other night, and then they slowly but surely go, oh, okay, you know, slowly but surely more and more people are coming on board to see that, you know, it can work and it will work. So yeah, I think Thursday, and also what the Thursday night crowd gave us, not only did it tell the FFA that we can get a crowd, it also tells us, you know, when you go out to the community, you can say, well, hang on, we can get a crowd for football, because that's always been a big thing. And you still get some knockers who say, oh yeah, but that was the Socceroos. But you know, there's always going to be those. But before that night, you say, oh, you can never get a crowd for football. Now they're saying, oh yeah, but that was the Socceroos. So, you know, you just keep chipping away.
One step at a time,
and just, we don't mind that. Now, just on a note of, you know, I met Frank Lowy. I got to shake Frank's hand. So on behalf of the football community, I thanked him for everything he'd done for football, because without Frank, well, yeah, we'd still be waiting for the Cumber Cosmos to come back.
What was that game where Bresciano scored that scissor kick where, I think we were playing Bahrain in Sydney?
Yeah.
I went to that game, and one of my friends that I had the tickets for was late, and I missed that goal because he was late and we missed the first 5 minutes and I had the tickets. And then we went in, and as we were walking to our seats, we saw Frank Lowy walking past in the corridor, and we decided to stop and introduce ourselves. And
Good on you.
I don't think he was that impressed.
Well, I'm sure he was impressed to meet me. I'm sure he was. Well, he looked impressed.
I'm sure he was.
Yeah, you're listening to The Near Post on TXX 98.3 FM. We're talking rubbish mostly, but we're talking football and we're talking Socceroos. We're going to talk about the A-League bid. Obviously, it was a big night for the Socceroos. It was a big night for the crowd. But underneath all that, there was a fantastic turnout. And, you know, I'd like to think that turnout was partly not just for the Socceroos, but obviously for the A-League bid support. There was a lot of media coverage before the event. I thought there was. Did you guys think that in terms of...
I saw a lot, yep.
There was a fair bit out there compared to other games that we've had.
Absolutely.
And Couch Creative did a big, they did a lot of work there for us, which was fantastic. The early bid, we had a meeting with the FFA on Friday, the day after the game. They thanked us for their for our help to get the crowd. Interestingly, there was about 3 corporate boxes sold on the night, and the FFA sold the corporate side of the game. So we told them we could have done a bit better, because it was amazing. If you looked up at the corporate boxes, there was none. There was nothing sold, hardly.
Did 2B Advertising buy one? Because I used to work there, and I asked my friend to come to the game with me, and he said I wanted to buy a corporate box. I'm not sure if we went through with it.
What was the name of it?
2B Advertising and Design.
Don't know. There were so few sold that, I mean, obviously the FFA controlled that, so they didn't do a particularly great job there. Now, 20,000 people, so the FFA were delighted with that turnout. We had our meeting with the FFA on Friday, and as people will probably know, on the bid project manager. So we went. How did we go? Well... You know, you can't say too much in these matters, but we certainly... they did say we ticked all the boxes. They said it was the best prepared bid they'd ever seen, so I take that as a personal compliment. But also, I think what we're doing... There's no doubt in my mind that the FFA want Western Sydney.
I was about to raise the other point. You might not be able to speak, Eamon, because you're part of the bid, but I'm not, so I can.
You can say what you want. Go for it.
First, they had the announcement over which teams were going to come in February. Then they scheduled it for March, and now they've rescheduled it to June. And they've said our bid is fantastic. Our bid is ready. No other bids are ready. All those Western Sydney, Wollongong, they're still getting their act together. And I just think the FFA are just buying them time to get their act together so that they can take their preferred Western Sydney bid. And I don't like that at all.
You don't? Have you heard anything about the Western Sydney bid? Because I know that you're a follower of football fan sites and football pages. And, you know, you, probably like myself, Aaron, would have... what have you heard about the Western Sydney bid?
Last I heard was when Lucas Neal was snapped in camp in Dubai with AC Milan. And there was a lot of rumours going about that he was about to sign with AC Milan. But it turned out that he was over in Dubai scouting Western Sydney contributors to finance his Western Sydney bid, because he is one of the figureheads and he's one of the people putting money in. And so their bid isn't ready. They haven't got the money. They're still out there looking for money. They haven't got a stadium deal. They don't know what they're doing. But I just feel the FFA really wants them. It is the heartland of Australian football out there. They really know the potential, and they're just giving them time to get their bid together. And I don't like that one bit, because we are ready now. We can do it now. And they've seen what football can do here.
It is the heartland. It is the biggest football area in the country. Western Sydney, and also it's linked in, I think, to Fox Sports. I mean, basically, if you're up in Townsville at the moment, I've sent up one of my Canberra spies up to Townsville, and he's moved into the region to live there for a little while, and he's trying to get his daughter signed up into football, and one's under 15, a lad's under 11. There's 5 girls' football teams.
Oh, you're kidding.
In the whole of Townsville. For that age group, compared to what we have here in Canberra. And he said in the under 11s, I think he's the girls and boys are playing together because they've only got one team. Wow. Under 11s. So, you know, you sort of think, well...
That's terrible.
But he did say, well, interestingly, he did say, he said the Foxtel push into North Queensland at the moment, he said, it is unbelievable, the amount of Foxtel coverage that they're trying to sell. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why, because there is no logic to going to Townsville from a population point of view.
No. I was very surprised.
Look, I think what they're suggesting is that Canberra market with the Brumbies, the Foxtel penetration is probably where it's at. So a new team coming here wouldn't necessarily increase the Foxtel viewing audience. I don't know whether that's, you know, but Western Sydney, presumably. They want a game in Western Sydney every weekend, in Sydney every weekend, and in Melbourne. Because if you have a game in those cities, you get media coverage. Obviously, there's more viewers to watch those teams, so that means they can get a bigger TV deal. Having said that, Western Sydney aren't ready. What are they going to do? They're not going to play with 11 teams, are they?
No, but they're going to delay the decision until they can get their act together and keep harassing them, cracking the whip and saying...
They might. Okay, what about the other argument that... they didn't say this, but I wonder whether they'll go away and come back in 3 weeks in their own time.
I would hope so. I think that'd be fantastic. I think the Canberra bid is ready. There's nothing more we can do. It's done now. It's just a matter of FFA.
I mean, that was a bit of a relief, actually. Ben Buckley did say that. There's nothing more we can ask you to do. And I thought, phew. I'm not my feet up. I'm sick of pledges. I'm sick of... So I thought, well, that's good. So, I mean, obviously, we can always get more money from an investor point of view, foundation members. They're probably the two things that we can continue to chase. But in terms of the grassroots support, they said it's the best prepared bid that they've seen. And that's a credit to all our volunteers and all the people involved who put in their energy and time to support that. So, and in terms of the AIS agreement, we've got the Canberra Stadium agreement, the Canberra University agreement as another training venue, the offices we've got negotiated.
And the women's team as well?
Their women's team. They were sort of interested in that. They didn't really push that point. I mean, there is a strong, I suppose they see it as separate in terms of finances, in terms of, you know.
So would we be Canberra United if the bid got up?
My thoughts would be we would, because basically Canberra, the A-League choose the team, and you couldn't think that they're going to kick... That they've built up that brand with Canberra United, right. So you'd see. And to my way of thinking, I don't mind. I think, well, Sydney FC, and the women's team have become Sydney FC. So what if we follow the women? Good stuff. I mean, Canberra United have created a brand.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all love Canberra United, and I think that's a natural way to go. Mm. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Nice colours as well. Very unique, and I like the strip as well, a lot.
Capital Punishment raised an eyebrow.
They didn't like it. Well, I thought it might get a bit political when I first heard it.
There was just it's just a throwaway line, and I don't think this is too controversial, but they basically just said it might cause problems with other fan groups down the track.
Had that issue when we went to Sydney to see Perth play, and we took a contingent of 50 or so people from Canberra wearing the capital punishment shirts, and there was a lot of confusion about what that actually was about, whether it was supporting a Canberra A-League bid or
some kind of something different. Protest.
That's right.
And I think also, I mean, team in the Canberra Centre, when we've got people sign up, people were signing up, they thought we were trying to get them to support capital punishment. So there is an issue there, obviously, but, you know, I think that was a minor issue. I'm sure that can be, well, you just have to obey the FFA rules anyway. There's nothing else you can do, is there?
I think you only really get these, the struggles between the Sydney and the Melbourne fans because they're the big two teams. I don't think you get that with any other teams.
No, I don't. Certainly not from Canberra. I can't see that.
See that from Canberra. No. One question, though, I mean, I'll put it to you maybe. We talk about the Western Sydney bid and where that is with respect to the Canberra bid and how that's the heartland of football in Australia. Well, I've heard a lot about the fact that, you know, Australia really needs to have a capital team in its domestic league for it to really be taken seriously on the international stage. We're talking about, you know, future World Cup bids. I mean, surely that carries some favour with the FFA, don't you think?
It's a good point. I'm not convinced. I think it comes down to money. I think if we had $12 million, they might say yeah. Because then if we made a loss, they know that there's, you know, Clive Palmer, $12 million. I mean, he only needed $12 million. He didn't need to do anything else. So, you know, I think the money is an important angle. I think from the World Cup point of view, they'll play games here anyway. Last night proved that, or Thursday night proved that. They don't need to have a team in town to get, you know, if you've got Ireland versus, you know, Italy, you're going to fill the stadium, aren't you? You don't need to have an A-League team in town. So, and I think for them, it's all about the dosh. And having said that, a lot of the A-League clubs, if you look at Newcastle Jets, they don't know where they're training from 1 week to the next. The Central Coast have got pretty dodgy facilities. Perth, I mean, they're all over the place. Adelaide are just about to be taken over by the FFA. So there's a lot of clubs not going so well. Townsville don't have a stadium agreement. You know, and the facilities that we've got in place and the relationship between the stadium and the A-League bid, because it's obviously government-owned, government-based, and they want the team in town. Our facilities are absolutely fantastic. I mean, they're world-class, aren't they? Canberra Stadium, AIS, University of Canberra. You know, so what we can offer is an absolutely fantastic football infrastructure. So if you're a coach or a player and you've got a choice of where to go, some people say, oh, the beach. Yeah, of course the beach is important, but at the end of the day, do you want to play on a paddock in Townsville or, you know, in Newcastle where you don't know where you're training from? You know, apparently in Perth, they ring you up the day before and say, oh, we'll let you know tomorrow where we're training.
No.
So they send a text message to players, and players often don't read the text message. That's the level of professionalism at some of the clubs. So when you see what Canberra has to offer, I think we're very enticing. And also we have government support. So I'm a bit like you, Danny. I like to think that emotionally and, you know, intelligence-wise, we need the capital in there, but it's all about money. It's just pure business. Having said that, can they afford to turn away an area that is so well prepared? A region of 700,000 people, you want to grow the game. This is one of the key areas where you're going to grow it. If you're going to go to 14 teams, I can't see how we can possibly get to 14 teams without Canberra. Western Sydney will always come again, won't they? You know, if they don't get in this time, they'll come again. Canberra may not. So, and who knows, maybe they're just waiting, you know. Maybe they'll come back in a few weeks, do their own assessment and realise. So anyway, we gave it a good shot. We now wait. And wait. So, yeah, well, we'll see. And I think the Socceroos game certainly helps with the crowd. Any final thoughts on all of that stuff?
No, I think we summed it up pretty well.
Okay, we sorted that one. So, Ben Buckley, get on with it, put us in. Now, Fed Cup. Aaron, first of all, are you playing football at the moment, or what's your story? Down in Div 2? Up in Div 2.
Up in Div 2. Now, yeah. Well, our Div 2 team actually has played a couple of games, but I was overseas in New Zealand, so I missed them all. But, yeah, I'm not playing the Fed Cup. No, that's our Div 1 team.
What happens in Div 2? Do you have friendlies before the start of the season?
Oh, we keep playing against the Div 4 team.
Okay, you just keep playing against them. Okay.
And they knocked us over last time as well. So.
Oh, well, maybe you should go back to Div 4. Okay, so Fed Cup, we've got some scores there from the weekend.
Yep, I'll start with the one that I went and watched, which was my own very own Narrabundah to go play Deakin. We went down 6-0, which was expected, I guess.
How did Tim Skinner go? I know, near post host, far post host.
He was in Queensland helping his grandmother move, so he missed the game, as well as a couple of other key players for us. I don't think it mattered. We were never going to beat Deakin.
Dedication, Tim. Dedication. Queanbeyan 4, Woden Valley 3.
Yep, and that puts the latter in a very precarious spot because Narrabundah can still qualify.
They can still make it, I believe that's so. I saw that debate going on the World Game Forum. Some people was writing about Narrabundah. I thought, there you go. Who could that be?
Yeah, and so if we win the last game and Woden go down against Deakin, as you would expect, it'll come down to goal difference. And I think as long as we win by two, I think we'll do it.
I love the optimism. I love it. In the other group, O'Connor Knights defeated Woden rivals 7-0 and Southern Tablelands STFA beat it Canberra FC PPL team 7-1. So good result for Goulburn.
They're an excellent team, their Goulburn team. They're very good. They've got that Daniel Alifi who played in the Cosmos and then went over to the Wollongong Wolves for a while. And he's just back in Goulburn now because his dad's the coach. He scored 35 goals in 18 matches in Div 1 last year.
And his dad Carlo helped us get, he got 900 pledges for Goulburn.
Oh, wow.
And he said he'd love an A-League team because he said he spent half his life taking his kids around to play in Sydney and whatever, and he said it was a waste of time because they need a local team. So he spent thousands of dollars on that. So good on you, Carlo, and good on you, Daniel. And next up, Tuggeranong 1. Russ Gibbs won't be happy. Tuggeranong United 1 got thumped by Belconnen. Scotty Conlon thumped his old club. Canberra Olympic and A and U drew 0-0. Interesting one. I'll come back to that one in a minute. Canberra City 2, White Eagles 2, and Actas beat Western Creek 1-0. A and UFC intrigued me this year, Aaron.
Apparently they've put a whole new team in. They've got them out of the AIS, something like that.
Yeah, John Mitchell's coaching, and he's got, not necessarily out of the AIS, but he's certainly got a lot of boys from the ACTAS programs.
No, yep, sorry, that's what I meant. Yep.
And I'm intrigued by the because obviously they're coaching them, they're training, they've been doing training since November, they've been doing gym work, they've been doing training five times a week. Look, if the youth team comes off, it's guys like that that will be ready to roll into our youth
team. Is it 100% new team? Because that's what I hear, and their old Premier League team has now dropped into Div 1.
Well, anybody was invited to play. But, you know, if you couldn't start training in November or you didn't want to, most of them really said they didn't want to play at that level in terms of that commitment. So it's fantastic. It lists the standard of football in Canberra and the standard of preparation. They got a 0-0 with Canberra Olympic. That would probably have been unheard of, would it?
Olympic are a great side. And I think outside of Deakin and Belconnen, who have really built themselves an old firm kind of thing happening in Canberra, Olympic are just about the best of the rest.
And ANU only went down 2-1, I think, the previous week to Belconnen. So, you know, interesting times, and good to see somebody taking initiative to do something different.
Absolutely.
You know, and they've got a great setup there at ANU. So so this weekend's games, we've got, who have we got, Aaron?
Well, Narrabundah, we're playing against Queanbeyan City.
Start with the best, that's right, yep. Okay, that's the big one this weekend, because Narrabundah need to win.
Woden Canberra FC in our group as well. We want Canberra FC to knock up a lot of goals there, kill off Woden's goal difference. Then we've got Canberra FC's Premier League pathway team against O'Connor Knights. Premier League pathway team's doing terrible, and I fully expect O'Connor Knights to win that.
I thought they'd be a little bit better than that.
But... me too. They lost to those Woden rivals, and do you know who they are?
No.
But they've got a real real grudge match happening with Narrabundah because they started in Division 4 2 seasons ago. They played us in the grand final, and then both of the teams moved up to Division 2. Every time we play them, it's fiery games, there's hard tackles and all that stuff. Then they won Division 2 last year. Their Division 1 team was quite ordinary, and I hear they're going to swap divisions and their Div 2 team is moving up. So they've come all the way from Div 4 and now they're taking part in the Fed Cup and beating Deakin's Premier
League. Who are the Woden rivals? Are they part of Woden Valley?
Yeah, they're part of Woden Valley.
So
they started as a state league team and now they're moving their way up and they're up in Div 1 now.
So again, it shows the strength of the club, I guess, Woden Valley, that they've got a Premier team and a strong state league team.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. So, okay, also we've got the White Eagles versus ACTAS and Western Creek versus Canberra City. Belconnen versus Canberra Olympic and ANU FC versus Tuggeranong.
I think ACTAS will go down against White Eagles just because ACTAS is just full of 14-year-olds that just can't compete with the guys. I think Canberra City will probably get up and Kevin Room, the far post host, will score a goal. And what were the other games? I missed them.
Belconnen, Canberra Olympic. Belconnen already through, I think.
Yeah, that'll be tough. I think Belconnen will probably get up and... ANU and Tuggeranong, ANU on current form, and I guess I don't know anything about them. I'll tip them for the hell of it.
Yeah, why not? Okay, and I think that's all from myself and Danny and Aaron, sprouting the airways about football in Canberra and across Australia. So thanks very much, guys. Aaron, thanks very much for coming in short notice, but appreciate it. And Danny, even shorter notice.
Thanks very much.
Appreciate
thanks
it even much. More, if that's possible. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you're going to the near post, defending or attacking, if you're going to the near post, get there first.
Post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.